Welcome to the Lorehounds Podcast. We're your guides to the Grand Line. I'm John, referee for all official LBAF duels.
Hi, and I'm Alicia, behatted medical student studying under Dr. Reen. And this is our coverage of Netflix's live-action One Piece Season 2, Episodes 5 through 8. So we're wrapping up Season 2 today.
Spoilers for the live-action show through Season 2, and light spoilers for the corresponding anime manga episodes, just on differences. If you want to get into contact with us, go to onepiece@thelorehounds.com, send us an email. You can find links for everything in the show notes. And Alicia, how can people support us?
Well, you can find also in the show notes links to our Supercast and Patreon, same content on both. There you'll find ad-free access to all of these episodes like this, plus bonus episodes every month. Like, we're talking Misery. That was a really close call.
I know.
One vote separating Misery and When Harry Met Sally.
Well, I guess we're going to go right into spring with some wintry horror.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense. I almost put it on that my January winter horror list.
That would make sense. But wasn't it like Cold Comforts? Wasn't that what it was called?
Yeah,
it's not a comforting movie.
Well, yeah, but Cold Comfort also is something chilling. So it was a mix of both.
Okay.
We ended up going with Fargo, you know.
Did you? Yeah, that's true. Did you ever see that video somebody made on, like, it was a while back on, like, YouTube Shorts or TikTok or something like that? And it was like, if you were in Misery in this economy, and it's like, oh no, get me some free lodging and food.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a hammer to break my legs again.
Oh no.
Free healthcare too.
I've had some minor leg breaks, and I would not want to go through what that guy goes through. But I'd be like, if you want to house and feed me, I will write whatever you want me to write, lady.
I mean, he should have stopped resisting, you know?
Then.
Okay, just kidding, everybody.
Who needs their own identity and willpower, right?
That's right. Just write the book that she wants.
Right.
Fantastic. All right, so that is that's that on Misery. Let's get into Hope
You can Punk. Hear more of that if you join Supercast Patreon.
That's right. That's but right. I promise Punk. To make more glib jokes. So, what'd you think? We had to delay everything, and then so we decided to just combine the rest of the season into one podcast. What were your thoughts on the second, slightly more than half of the season?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say it feels more jam-packed, but of course that is because we did literally do more five episodes versus three. But this is, you know, a lot of great things happen in the second half. Like, are we full? Yeah, we're full spoilers now.
Spoilers for season two. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything else. So, actually, I do know one other thing. You know what that is. I won't say.
Yeah.
we got to meet the new members of the crew. I'm assuming that what's his face joins the crew, the reindeer.
Yeah, doesn't he say that at the end?
Yeah, I think so.
He goes off with them at the end.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he goes off with them, but then... Well,
he's in the crew. That's not a spoiler. He's right. Tony Chopper. He's there.
Yes, Tony Chopper. Yeah, I mean, I know from just like seeing pictures of the anime that he's there. I expected more of the doctor character because I recognized him as soon as I saw him on screen here. I was like, oh, I've seen pictures of this guy that he's with the reindeer dude. So I expected him to be around more. I don't know if he comes back. Obviously, you do.
He's dead. He's dead. That was a full death.
Okay.
As far as I know, at least.
No fake deaths. All right.
There's plenty of fake deaths in One Piece, but that's not one of them as far as I know. 800 episodes later, I've not seen him again. And I think it's important that he dies for Chopper's backstory. I think it would feel really cheap if he came back.
Yeah, but no, this was a great place to end it. I'm very curious. I feel like the next season is going to be... And now, I'm sorry, it's been a few days since I watched all this, so I forget the names of things. But the Princess's Island, I'm assuming that's going to be a major focus of next season.
I think that's probably just going to be the whole season because it's a major arc in... The One Piece, you know, the One Piece canon.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're setting up all these political moving pieces there that's what I would assume, even having no knowledge.
I would say that Alabasta is the first representative arc of the rest of One Piece, because so far you've seen a lot of like hop from island to island quickly. And Alabasta is the first one where, like, we hang out there for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's more of, like, what the rest of the series is. You know, I could see them doing just one to two islands for the rest of the show. Per season, rather.
Oh, per season.
Per season, sorry.
Right, right. I mean, but that's the question, like, because obviously in the anime, it doesn't matter that the characters just always look the same, but these are real people who are going to age, which I wouldn't hate if they kept going into their, like, 30s, 40s, but I wonder what their plan is for this. Like, are they, like, do they want to complete the whole circle, you know, that we talked about in previous episodes in this live action show? Are they going to, like, shortcut to the end? Are they just going to end it early?
It's a good question. With Netflix, you never know if they're going to cut it short. I will say each island is often 50 to 200 episodes. So it's not like each island is going to be another, like, you know, we're not going to be inching forward in episodes anymore. Every island we go to is going to take off a significant chunk of what's left.
Right.
And so I haven't done the math on how many islands. I think people are concerned if it's every 2 years. If it's every year, they can probably manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was 2 years this time was the writer's strike.
Right,
and
the,
you know, all the things, the actor strike, the writer's strike. So hopefully they can be a little faster this time.
Yeah. And now they have a new agreement with the Writers Guild again. So no strike this time, and it's going to last 4 years, was a compromise between the studios and the guild.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like both sides are like, yeah, I mean, it's an okay deal, which I suppose means, you know, compromise. Although I do continue to think that the people who actually create the things should have more than the people who just distribute them. But that's just me talking crazy.
That's capitalism, you know?
Late stage.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
any other general thoughts?
I mean, I don't know. I guess when we get into the details, I'll have more to say. I enjoyed this season. I enjoyed, you know, I love David Dasmalchian, so I enjoyed that him showing up.
Yeah, I was thinking of you. I was like, oh, at least he's going to go nuts for the fact that he's Mr. Three.
Yeah, that was a fun character. You know, I do love a creative psychopath in my media.
Nice caveat.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that I enjoyed about this season. It, you know, felt like it was over quickly, but that's always the case with these adventure shows that only have eight episodes these days. And I really hope that they do turn this around later, you know, faster, not just for the aging aspect, but just for my personal enjoyment. I'm glad that I've been drawn into this world. And I see they're not only doing the One Piece, the anime we've talked about, and they released, you know, they're like, we're working on it. Look, here's some images from us working on it. But they also are doing a Lego version.
Oh, I didn't know about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I shared it in the Discord a few weeks ago. But yeah, that's a lot of One Piece. Netflix is, no wonder they're willing to invest in this live action, because they, like, we got you in the One Piece Ecosphere, then you will watch all the One Pieces, many hundreds of hours.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that they revealed the number of episodes per arc in the One Piece.
No.
They cut it by, like, in some cases, like, they, like, quartered the number of episodes from, like, 200 to 50, things like that. So, like, they are really trying to, like, streamline these arcs and make it more accessible.
No offense to the super fans. I have not dipped my toe over there, but good. I mean, why else do this otherwise, right?
Yeah. No, it does seem like they're doing a materially different job with that, and I'm glad. Because it should be its own thing if they're going to remake it.
Right, exactly.
We'll always have our 1,000-episode series.
Right. And maybe someday I will dip my toe into that deep, deep water.
I think it just feels weird because they haven't finished the original series yet. Right. Like, if they had finished it, you'd be like, oh, okay, they're doing an abridged now. Like, Dragon Ball Z did Dragon Ball Z Kai. That was, like, abridged a little bit. You know. But anyway, I think it's going to be fun. I'm going to watch it when it comes out for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully we'll talk about it too.
Well, on my quick hot takes for these episodes, I thought they did a brilliant job adapting it. These were very, very close to the anime versions. There were a couple little changes that they made, but mostly like really in line in a way that surprised me, because I thought that they were going to change more, especially on Little Garden, because Little Garden is so like insane, but they kept all the ridiculous laughs. They kept the hair. I'm so glad they kept the hair for Mr. Three.
Yeah.
Three hair. You know, they kept basically everything. I'm so happy with this adaptation. That's basically all I want to say.
Yeah. I have questions about, for example, what was there to be afraid of on that island if the agents weren't there? Because people kept warning them. I mean, okay, we're going to talk about it.
Well, the dinosaurs and the illnesses, right?
Yeah. I mean, they took out the dinosaurs pretty easily, but I suppose that's probably an adaptation thing because they had to speed that up.
They did it pretty easily in the anime okay. too. I think it's just that, Sanji and Zoro are really OP.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, normal pirates would have a really hard time there, but not our guys in the Straw Hats.
Yeah. I love that they both like kicked and punched the, dinosaur at the same time and then argued over which one was the killing blow, which I don't advocate for harming animals, even T-Rexes, but they have a fun dynamic.
They did eliminate, okay, so I'll talk about a change before we even recap. They did eliminate this one aspect, which was in the anime, they kind of alluded to it, I think, but in the anime, they get off the ship and they're like, who's going to get the biggest kill? Who's going to get the biggest meat? And they spend the first parts of the episodes trying to, you know, get their biggest dinosaur kill. And they can't, and they're arguing and they can't decide which one's bigger after they get the kill.
Okay.
And at the end of the arc, Dory and Bragi are like, they remember what they finally started arguing about 100 years ago, and it was the exact same fight.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So that would have made, I mean, I like for Sanji and Zoro, I like the arc in the TV show better, where it's sort of they have to acknowledge that they're stronger working together. But for, you know, the symmetry with the giant story, yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah. It's a fun little, you know.
But nod. By the way, I learned something about Sanji that he apparently doesn't, he only uses his feet to fight because his hands are for cooking.
I guess that's true. I never thought of it that way, but I he's probably said that and I just forgot it in Reddit the anime. Told me that. But oh, Reddit told you that? Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, also he just like learned to kick from his boss, who was like the kick master. He was I forgot what his name was, but he like his whole identity was built around his foot.
Yeah,
so and then he lost it because he saved Sanji, right?
I've been watching the George Romero of the Dead movies recently, and the first couple movies, especially the first movie, there's a lot of like kicking the zombies. I'm like, we don't do enough kick fighting in the real world, to be honest.
It's true.
That's what my instinct would be to do, because definitely my legs are stronger than my arms.
Why don't we get into some taekwondo and or kickboxing.
Yeah, I mean, I at some point I did think about that because, you know, it's also the problem with kicking is it puts you off balance, so you're vulnerable that way. But anyway,
right.
I just appreciate that Sanji uses his feet.
He'll only use his feet, which is always super fun. Why don't we get right into episodes 4 and 5, Little Garden. By the way, the episode names are very funny. I would say. I don't know if you paid attention to them as they autoplayed or whatever from Netflix, but you've got, so episode 4 is Big Trouble in Little Garden.
Oh, and right. Episode 5 is
Wax On, Wax Off.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah, that a lot of them are film title puns or right. a reference in the second case.
I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that as a cinema nerd.
All right. So I'll read the first paragraph if you read the second paragraph.
Okie doke.
After Luffy refuses Miss All Sunday's offer to hide and allow Baroque Works to do its business on Alabasta, Nami uses her new log post to lead the Straw Hats to Little Garden, a prehistoric island filled with dinosaurs and giant flora. There, the crew meets two Elbaf giants who have had a daily duel for 100 years for a reason they have forgotten. Hmm. Usopp and Nami meet Bragi, and Luffy and Vivi meet Dory. Baroque Works is hot on their tail, sending Mr. Three and Miss Golden Week to help Mr. Five and Miss Valentine eliminate the Straw Hats and Vivi. Baroque Works poisons Bragi's drink before he can duel with Dory, allowing Dory to defeat Bragi and end their 100 years of dueling. Meanwhile, Miss Golden Week puts Zoro, Nami, and Luffy into trances with her colors trap. Vivi is captured by Mr. Five, and Dory is trapped by Wax by Mr. Three.
So before we go on, can I just ask about something that I noticed from the first batch of episodes that I forgot to bring up then that just reminds me, you just reminded me of it, which is that Vivi at some point, when she first showed up, she was doing some sort of entrancing dance as well. And I saw somewhere that is from the anime, but then how is that different? Oh, wait, no. Yeah, the colors trap is obviously painted on. But what's up with Vivi's entrancing dance?
It's just some kind of martial arts. Like, I'm just, you know, swinging my yo-yo, whatever it is, her yo-yo attacker thing, and distracting you. You can't keep your eyes straight, so you don't know where it is, right? It's just vibe-based. Okay. There's no devil fruit involved. There's no
magic involved. No, yeah, because she can swim.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so speaking of Vivi, Vivi, Nami, and Zoro awake within a wax sculpture by Mr. Three that will slowly suffocate them, and Luffy is trapped in a tea party with Ms. Golden Week. Sanji stumbles upon Mr. Three's lair and ends up on the phone with Mr. Zero, calling himself Mr. Prince. The Unluckies arrive to fight Sanji, but he's victorious and takes their Alabasta Eternal pose. Usopp wakes Bragi, gets a pep talk, and rescues Luffy from Ms. Golden Week. He redirects Ms. Valentine's attacks to the wax sculpture, freeing Zoro, Nami, and Vivi, who soundly defeat Mr. Five and Ms. Valentine. Luffy tracks Mr. Three through the forest and defeats him. Dory and Bragi clear a path for the Straw Hats out to sea, and the crew sets off for Alabasta. But wait, Nami is sick.
Dun, dun, dun. Yep. They made that sickness way more like visual in the show, in the live action show. There were no like lines going down Nami that I can remember in the anime. It was just, she's very sick.
Yeah, it looks bad. Looks bad. Yeah. And Sanji, we learn that he has mommy trauma. And so he's like, really like, I got to fix you.
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't even think about this until I was outlining, but you know, he does that monologue during the Drum Island arc where he's like, oh, she would call me her little prince. And he calls himself Mr. Prince.
Right. Yeah. He did mention that at some point.
Right. He mentions on the next arc. I don't think that where I'm at in the anime, like 800 episodes in, they've talked about his mom issues so much. So they're definitely bringing, I'm actually just getting up to the arc where I think they probably will talk about his mom issues and his family issues in general. So, it's interesting that they're bringing all this stuff forward so that we have this character development right away.
I appreciate that personally.
I have to say that live action Sanji is the character they have improved the most.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I could see based on what people are talking about with like him and the hitting on the lady stuff. They have that still a little bit, but here it's like, it's closer to rakish than problematic.
Yeah, you know, there is a problematic trope across a lot of anime.
Yeah, for teenage
that boys. Is yeah. the horny guy, right? Mm-hmm. The horny guy harassing women.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a lot. Sanji in the anime, you're like, oh, this did not age well. But not even just it didn't age well. It's like, he's still like that in the modern anime. So it's not great. It's not great. And I'm glad that they made him more of a charmer than a harasser here.
Yeah. No, I agree. Can we talk some more about Mr. Three? I have a question. His wax house, that must be something he just dissolves and rebuilds wherever they set up. Because I noticed, like, as soon as the other members of Baroque Works see the house, they're like, oh, God, they're here. Or what do they call it? They're like, the psychos are here or something.
Yeah, I think they said that. Yeah.
So is that just something like he just dissolves it and reforms it so that he has a Lux pad wherever they have to set up shop?
I'm assuming, yeah. That's his mobile rig.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, can he make the wax softer for like bedding, or just everything's hard and slippy?
I don't know. I've not gone that deep into this power. Sorry. You're thinking too hard. I'm going to say that. I think you're thinking too hard about these powers. They're vibe based again. This is not a hard magic system.
Yeah, but
the only hard rules are you can't swim if you had a devil fruit.
Right. So, but he has had a devil fruit, the wax fruit, so he cannot swim. Is his? Right. Is his also? You told me about the two types of devil fruits.
Yeah, his is a paramecia type because he's not changing the substance of his body.
Okay.
He's ejecting something from his body, right? If you're making your body do something instead of become something, that is a paramecia type devil fruit. And then we've seen Smoker is a Logia type devil fruit user, which means he changes the substance of his body, which means he can't be hit by a regular hit, right?
So is he still the only Logia user we've met?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's okay. The only one we've met. You've also seen the third type of devil fruit in the next arc, which is the Zoan type devil fruits, which is where you change into an animal. Or it's basically like a modal transformation thing, right? You can do like levels of transformation.
Right.
You're not changing the substance, you're changing like properties of your body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're like the druids. They right. get wild shape.
Right. That's why you see like three levels of Chopper's transformation, right? He can be like in regular deer form, he can be in tiny cute deer form, and he can be in monster form.
Right. And just in case anyone doesn't know, that was a D&D druid, not a historic druid.
Fair
as
enough.
As far as we know.
Mm-hmm. Right in, druids. No. So yeah, we're getting a taste of everything this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's what I think. You know, I was saying I don't think it's fair for me to say it's fuller because we're doing two more episodes in this in our discussion than the last time. But it does just feel like we're leveling up on the lore and the characters, and it's like now that there's certain foundations have been laid, new developments are coming fast and hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only going to get bigger, right? Like the world is just going to keep getting bigger. And that's great because this show does a lot of, you know, I think a lot of people, and I've said this to you before, like a lot of people compare the Wheel of Time world building to One Piece's because it's just like every.
It just keeps expanding.
Yeah, every arc or every book in the Wheel of Time, you're like getting just a little bit more in your scope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are running through Baroque's work team members really fast.
Yeah, we are.
Like how many are there?
Well, okay, so I'm sure they'll go more into this next season, but this isn't a big spoiler. So I don't know how many named ones there are, but there's a lot of what they call the billions, which are just like the grunts. And that's what we saw.
Like in the last arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's plenty of those. There's like, you know, tons and tons of those. They call them the billions just to intimidate. I don't think there's actual billions. But yeah, it's a lot of people. Honestly, I think you kind of see that Crocodile sees them as mostly disposable. All of them, even the named ones. So Crocodile, of course, Mr. Zero, who's revealed this arc, the next arc, rather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was revealed earlier too, right?
They showed him, but they don't name him until the last episode.
Okay, okay. That was a fun thing in the arc on the Little Garden too, is that Sanji finds this house and he picks up the phone and talks to Mr. Zero. And at first I was like, well, obviously he knows it's not him, but then there's the whole thing where they are disguising their voices.
So right, exactly.
First.
That is pretty funny. By the way, did you see everybody calling me out that Sanji is supposed to be British and not French?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
that does not sound British to me. I know I'm a dirty American. He does sound
British. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't know. I said that in the first episode, I said I didn't notice. When we did the season one recap, I said I didn't notice an accent. But now since people have been saying that, I've been listening. And he does sound British.
Okay. I'll be quiet about it.
There's a lot of different ways to sound British. I think, yeah, maybe
people pronunciation.
Yeah.
They have just a bucket of accents over there.
I mean, you go like, what, there's the joke, I'm not going to say it well, so I shouldn't even try, but it's like you go a few kilometers and they call bread a different thing or scones. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. It just, things change quickly there. Whereas I feel like the US, there are not that many accent variations.
Like 4 or 5 major accents in the US. Everything else is just like a slight derivative of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what do you think of all this fighting we had? Did you enjoy watching Laffy Zoro? I think that's my favorite. Well, that one and Sad Luffy is also very funny.
Yeah. I mean, the fun thing about Laughing Zoro is that it's such a change in his personality because he's often like the most self-serious one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So it's nice to see him. And I suppose, yeah, true, same with Sad Luffy.
Yeah, exactly, right? He's mm-hmm. There's no hope. I was like, oh, Luffy.
I mean, I continue to be impressed with especially the, what's his name, Inyaki, what's his last name?
I don't know his last name, but yes.
The guy who plays Luffy.
Yeah.
He just continues. What a piece of casting. Bravo on that.
He's great, right? He just kind of embodies Luffy there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go as far. I think I said last time, like maybe he's embodying, Luffy's embodying him, like Lestat embodies.
Right, that he's possessed.
Yeah, he's possessed. I don't know if I'm fully convinced of my own thesis there.
Really?
But he is great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the anime, of course, but it just really feels like he is that character in the same way Sam Reed is Lestat.
Or Lestat is Sam Reed.
Mm-hmm.
So where Sam Reed is Lestat in disguise.
Like Sam Reed went back in time, visited Anne Rice in her dreams and said, write me as a vampire. No, I don't think he's actually like that in real life. I just want to say that.
I think he is. Absolutely.
He does a good job portraying it.
Yeah.
And maybe in this case, it's more of like finding someone who has a similar personality because he does seem boisterous in interviews. Inyaki.
Yeah. Inyaki, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Inyaki is great. I'm glad we have him. This whole cast is just doing a killer job doing all this. I was surprised. I don't know if you were. I guess you weren't because you didn't know it was coming. But I was surprised that they did the wax cake, the wax structure, because that is one of those memeable, like, this takes so many episodes to... He keeps going, it's going to be just a couple minutes and then you'll be suffocating. And then it's like 6 episodes later.
Really?
It's one of those things.
It does seem like it wasn't that difficult to figure out how to speed things up for the show.
Easy fix, right? But I did also enjoy that they were like, why are you dragging this out? Like the other Baroque works. I think that was kind of a nod to like how long that took in the anime.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but it is also, it's the, you know, we're always talking about the James Bond villains who at least he stayed to watch his artwork take place as long as he could. But yeah, it's always the James Bond villains like, here is the elaborate plan to kill you, but I'm going to leave so I don't see you escape. It's very slow dropping you into the acid or shark tank or whatever.
Yeah, there's a whole thing in Dungeon Crawler Carl, which I just finished the whole, you know, the series that's out for it, is they make an agreement. The two main characters make an agreement with each other, like, no monologuing. We don't monologue. We just finish it because otherwise things go wrong.
Yeah. But here is just like... just Mr. Three is simply, he is, I don't love the unhinged artist trope, but it is a fun villain that... he doesn't have some big master plan. He's like, I need to kill you, so I'm going to have fun with it, and this is what's fun for me.
Yeah. I mean, the suffering is part of his art, right?
Yeah. But then the thing is, like, I guess he just leaves the wax sculpture there behind?
I think so. Okay. It's just a monument to his cruelty.
Right.
What'd you think of the Giants, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, that was fun that they were like turning tropes where you expect obviously the Giants to want to eat them. And then he's like, oh, I see what I did there. I want to have you for dinner as a guest.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And I will say those laughs are taken right out of the anime. And I'm so glad that they did the ridiculous laughs together. I was cracking up.
But yeah, the whole that sometimes it's just like you just got to let them do them, that they didn't even remember what they were fighting about, but they were clearly friends about it. And aside from the, you know, having the sabotage from the Baroque works, they were perfectly content to just fight each other every day, have beers, fight each other, and then call it a day and do it again. I was a little uneasy about the fact that the one was willing to go through, I forget which is which, was willing to go through with it even after, I mean, I guess he just wasn't paying attention to the fact that the other one was sabotaged.
I think he didn't notice, yeah, because he's devastated afterwards, right? He's like, oh my God, I didn't win an honorable duel.
Yeah, but even still, like if he did it, without thinking it was honorable, wouldn't he be partly sad about losing his friend too? I'm sure I'm overthinking it. But
I think it would have hit him, but he was triggered early.
Right.
Because he was told like, hey, that wasn't honorable. And he's like, no,
but that's definitely, the biggest fake out death that we've had. And I'm still not sure how he survived his intestines exploding.
He's a giant. Who knows what his biology is? He has like six other intestines.
I hope that they make it. I presume that the anime at some point goes to their giant island, and I hope the show makes it that far if that's the case.
They
still haven't in 800 or whatever?
They literally just got there.
Oh. Well, we'll see.
They literally just got there. It's funny because I think I said this on our last podcast. It's been a while now, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. But people who have just seen it and not seen the anime go like, oh, we're probably going to Elbaf next season. And then somebody on Reddit responded to them and went, Usopp said that 20 years ago, which is true. Like he literally, that character said that 20 years ago in the real world.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well,
we got a long way to go if we go to Elbaf.
I wonder if they'll rearrange things in the live action to keep story arcs closer to each other.
I don't think so for that one because it's supposed to be towards the end of the Grand Line.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
In the final saga right now in the anime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And didn't he, the writer of the manga, because the manga's not done, right?
Manga's not done either, yeah. It's just slightly ahead of the anime.
Okay. But did he reveal to someone what the One Piece is or where it is or something for the first time?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, I don't know. I could be bullshitting. Okay. Like, I thought he maybe had to tell Netflix or something.
I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't seen anything, but I'm not denying it.
Okay. I don't know. I might be making that up. If you know, let us know.
Yeah.
Come jump on the Discord.
OnePiece@thelorehounds.com.
Yeah. Or that.
So, what else we got? So, Usopp is now a Brave Warrior of the Sea, right? He has been given a pep talk by Baragi, and he's ready to go. And they are ready to set off. They had a, I like them blasting a hole through the giant fish.
Right. Yeah. And then they start the argument again. So they're just going back to their old ways at your giants.
Yeah. They're great.
Yeah.
I love
them. But wasn't there, Usopp was telling a story in the last episode that we talked, the first three episodes we talked about in the last batch, about a giant goldfish. And now we saw a giant goldfish.
That's true. That's pretty funny. I didn't even put that together. That he's finally made one of his stories come true.
Mm-hmm.
It's what was that in Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Dennis writes his sexual memoirs, but then he's like, now I have to make them true.
I've stalled on. I've watched the first five seasons.
I think that might have been in there. It was a pretty early one.
Maybe.
He writes like he sees 50 Shades of Grey get big and he's like, I have to write my own. And then one of the other gang reads it and he's like, but none of this is true. He's like, I guess I should make some of this true, right? Like,
I don't think I've seen that yet. I think that might be.
Well, then I've ruined still, it for you.
Yeah, sure. Won't watch now. No, but there's so many seasons of that show. What season? They're like almost on 20 or something now.
I think 18 now.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I'm still in the first quarter then. Or just finish the first quarter.
It's an insane show. Yeah. All right, let's take a break.
The anime of live action. Sorry.
That's right. Let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll go right on to Drum Island.
I used to just go with whatever meat looked good or was on sale at the grocery store. But now that I've experienced the exceptional quality, flavor, and convenience that you can get from Omaha Steaks, I'm never going back. They can build a custom food plan based on your schedule, which means less food waste and stocking up on high-quality proteins to always have on hand. With Omaha Steaks in your freezer, you're always just minutes away from a quality dinner, whether it's Taco Tuesday or a weekend feast. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code YUM at checkout for $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
We're back. The Straw Hats need to find a doctor for Nami, and they spot Drum Kingdom, which Vivi has less than fond memories of, due to an altercation with its King Wapple at a reverie. It turns out that after Blackbeard attacked the kingdom, Wapple fled with all the doctors in the land, which were the island's pride. Wapple has also been given a devil fruit by Baroque Works. After some violence from the town, the head of Drum's guard, Dalton, welcomes the Straw Hats and tells them about Dr. Kareha, the island's last doctor who lives in the king's castle atop a mountain. Luffy and Sanji decide to climb the mountain at night with Nami on Luffy's back, and they barely make it before being rescued by Tony Chopper. Nami is treated by Kureha and Chopper elsewhere. Smoker and Tashigi clean up Marine Base attacked by Baroque Works members Miss Thursday and Mr. 11. I was going to say let's go right on, but that's a lot, so why don't we just discuss that quick?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just we're running through more. I don't even really remember Miss Thursday, Mr. 11. Was Miss Thursday the one with the baseball? No, that was earlier.
No, yeah, this was whoever was in that. I vaguely remember this too because I watched this now like 3 weeks ago. Right. But yeah, I mean, it was just really Smoker being like, where's everything? And they're trying to put everything together with the Straw Hats and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they've decided to converge on Alabasta, so everyone's going there.
Right.
Can I bring up some changes that they made?
Yes, please.
So they climb the mountain vertically in the show, mm-hmm. in the live action. In the anime, they go during the day and they climb the mountain more traditionally, right? Walking.
Right.
But they are waylaid by giant rabbits.
Oh.
And I'm kind of like, if there are giant, vicious rabbits on this island, maybe it's more reasonable for them to assume Chopper's a monster.
They did at one point, they were skinning a giant rabbit in town.
I guess that's an allusion to it.
Yeah.
It's just like a quick nod. But yeah, they totally changed that. And honestly, I'm glad because I don't need them running from, again, this is several episodes. We're running mm-hmm. from the rabbits.
Right.
Nami's just getting jostled on the back of Luffy and everything's fine.
And we're supposed to think that she keeps surviving.
Right, exactly. It starts to get a little unbelievable. I mean, also her just like wrapped around Luffy is not super believable either, and his ridiculous head grab of Sanji, honestly, it made me laugh out loud.
Wait, so what he like threw him on top, right?
Yeah, he gum-gummed his neck, wrapped his head around and bit into took Sanji by the teeth and then slung him on top,
mm-hmm.
bruised him up
and somehow didn't kill him either,
right? Yeah, none of it's realistic. That's fine. I feel like there was another change. Oh, yeah. The big change, I would say, is Wapol had nothing to do with Baroque Works, as far as I know, in the anime.
Okay.
He just had the devil fruit already.
Right. I mean, so it seems like this is a secret reveal that people don't in this world don't know that what's her face? Miss Sunday?
Miss All Sunday, sorry.
That she, in this and live action at least, gave him the devil fruit secretly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a new detail, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is, okay, the way his works is he, whatever he eats, he can like reconstitute and spit back up. And so he's creating these super soldiers that somehow eating them doesn't kill them. And they come back out with like metal parts and stuff too.
Yeah. It's a little ridiculous, but he also, I think in the anime, he does more of like eating them and then making them part of his body.
Okay.
Which seems darker, and maybe it would have been harder to do with special effects and things like that. So I'm fine with the way they did it in the live action.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah. They would have to make him like bigger and bigger or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, multi-episode fight between him and Luffy in the anime. Here we have it cut to like just a few punches, really, right? Like that was a quick fight.
Yeah. I mean, but then, yeah, you have the interesting story of the king turning on his people. And so why he's kidnapping all of the doctors except the crazy, quote unquote, witch lady, whatever. Why does he just wants them all in case he gets sick? Like, obviously he doesn't care about his people, but why does he feel like he needs personally all the doctors?
It's a good question. Not super well explained.
Okay.
In either medium, right? I think it's probably just that they are like that's the main business of this island, and so when he leaves, he's like, "I'm taking all the doctors with me."
Okay,
out of spite, right? Just to, I think it's a form of control too.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he had already started gathering them to him, so I don't know. I think part of it was monopolize the resources to make people bow down to you more.
Okay,
they can only get treatment if they're good to you and if you like them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I suppose that makes sense, sadly.
Yeah. He's just a bad dude. By the way, were you a Heroes fan back in the day?
Yeah, I was.
Did you notice who was Dr. Nefertari? I think of the last name? Cobra. Cobra Nefertari?
No. Oh, wait. It was, what's his face? Because I know
him from Dr. Suresh.
Yeah. I know him from other things since as well.
Oh, I don't think I've seen him in anything since. That's why when I saw him, I was like, hey, where you been, buddy?
Yeah, no, the casting in this is great. I suppose also because they chew through characters so quickly, they can just do all kinds of stunt casting for an episode or two.
Yeah, though we know that we're going to his kingdom next season. So, spoiler, not spoiler, we're going to see more of this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my other thing that I was totally, as not knowing the anime, was unaware that Chopper, Tony Chopper, has three forms. And so it was a mystery to me who rescued them from the cliff top.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that he also became like this, you know, were-reindeer.
That's the Zoan fruit type, and we learn, of course, Dalton also is a Zoan fruit type.
Right, right. Kind of the opposite in a way. Like, he becomes more of a werewolf, sort of.
That's the more common configuration, right? I mean, there's only one human fruit, so only one animal could actually be like this. There is a thing, I don't know if I want to say this, actually. That might be too much of a spoiler. But, yeah, I mean, Chopper is the one and only animal turned human.
Okay, question about the fruits in general is there more than one fruit of a type? Like,
No, there is one fruit per type. When the user dies, the fruit will reappear in the world somewhere.
Ah, okay.
At a random spot.
Okay. So the gum fruit no one else can have the same powers at the same time, basically.
Right.
Interesting. Oh, so wait, have we had some devil fruit users die? I guess we have, like, the wax fruit must be back out there.
I don't think he's dead.
Oh, okay.
He's not dead. But but Mr. Five is. Mr. Five okay. is definitely dead, right? Like he was chopped up, right, by Zorro.
Mm-hmm.
So the bomb fruit, I think that's what it was. Maybe it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But that's somewhere now.
Yeah.
Or it'll okay. grow somewhere. It might mm-hmm. need to grow for a minute. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, they only reappear after the death of the user.
Hmm. Okay.
And you don't know what it is until you start eating it. And then you know the name inherently, magically. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I had to look up the actor who played, that you brought up from Heroes, Sandeel Ramamurthy. And what I know him from is Never Have I Ever. Sorry. Anyway.
Okay. All right. I've never seen it or even heard of it.
TV show on, I think it's on Netflix, Mindy Kaling. Anyway.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now I recognize it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now that you said Mindy Kaling. Okay. So, yeah, we've got a lot of lore here, I think. Mm-hmm. a lot of setup here. Dalton seems like a stand-up guy from all this, right? I really like how young Vivi impressed upon him, like, even a child is better than my king. I thought that was really good storytelling. They added that whole reverie. Well, no, they just made it bigger because that there was a thing where they had a spat, but they embellished like Dalton noticing and how much it affected him. So I was glad that they played that up because that made it make more sense why we do the flashback.
I do. I like the tension they create, not a tension really, but the contrast they created between Vivi and Luffy when it came to the way they approach new groups, where Vivi demonstrated, you know, going into the city, sometimes don't come on aggressively, just come exactly. on. Like, but then on the other hand, when they showed her childhood, she also needed to learn to stand up for herself a bit more. Although, yeah, what was she supposed to do against the king?
Right. Right. I mean, she did avoid. I mean, I think the whole point of that was like sometimes diplomacy is the braver thing, and right. Perhaps that's a lesson that we could learn today, right?
Yeah,
diplomacy has more bravery than just bombing places.
Very hope punk.
Very hope punk. All right, you want to read the next part?
Sure. It's a backstory episode. When Luffy asks about the pirate flag on the wall, Correa tells him that Chopper was a reindeer who ate the human fruit and was found injured by Dr. Hiruluk, the worst doctor of all time. He was supposedly cured of a terminal illness when he saw cherry blossoms and therefore dreamed of curing Drum Island with the sight of cherry blossoms. Hiruluk's disease comes back and he pushes Chopper away, but Chopper sees the skull and crossbones, supposedly a symbol of hope, next to a mushroom in Hiruluk's book. He finds the mushroom and serves Hiruluk the tea to cure him. Hiruluk knows what happened, but drinks the tea anyway and goes to Walpole's castle to give a grand speech that a man dies not when his body passes away, but when his dream is forgotten. He then blows himself up. We return to the present where Walpole returns to Drum Island. Yeah, this was a sad one. I didn't want him to die, but yeah. I suppose he was dying anyway. So he's like, I might as well make Chopper feel good and go out in dramatic fashion. But
I think he was maybe, like, you know what? This will work with my plan. You know, it's a redundancy in case my bomb doesn't go off.
But I mean, maybe teach Chopper in the future skull and crossbones is poisonous.
He just serve it. He opens up a tea shop and just everyone's just dead the first day.
Yeah, that seems like just an important lesson for him to learn. And also maybe Chopper needed to learn too that sometimes you can't fix things.
That's what Dr. Hoya says to him, right? Mm-hmm. She says there is no such thing as a cure-all. It's hard work to cure people. And I really like Dr. Correa. She is another common trope in the One Piece universe of curmudgeon with a heart of gold.
Yeah. I really liked the casting, Katie Siegel. I've been a fan of hers ever since the Married with Children days. And I heard that apparently Jamie Lee Curtis was up for this role, which I could have seen as well, but I am glad they went with Katie Siegel. And she did the witch's cackle really well in a way that made it feel like, oh, this is a nod to the fact that people call her a witch, but it just sounds like normal laughing too.
I think she lives, yeah, she definitely like embraces it a little bit because he's like, I like being that kind of mysterious.
Yeah. Well, it makes people leave her alone. She's the only one doctor who wasn't kidnapped.
That's true. I mean, I think that was more stealth. She took over the castle after.
It's true. They were searching for them. Yeah.
They were searching for them. She was doing the undercover stuff. And then she was like, here, look, can you please stop like injuring my patients? This is this is getting out of hand. And and I like that Hiralik also denies that she's like the much better doctor until he needs something. And then he's like, can you look at me?
Yeah, I like the dynamic between the two of them. They had a complex relationship. Although she could be have been nicer to Chopper. I felt bad when Chopper, we'll talk about it next, obviously, but when Chopper leaves her, I was like, oh, she should go too.
Well, I think it's supposed to be the same thing of when Nami left her island, right? She she took all the wallets so that she couldn't come back. It's kind of the opposite, right? Because Kureha's like, get out of here, you little ingrate, and that but then she sends him off with his pack, right? She stashed his pack in the sleigh.
Right.
And she also did the cherry blossom bomb, which I think is, you know, beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it was just pink snow. Like I that was maybe a stretch too far for me. I love cherry blossoms. I love them. I love the way they look. I love the Sakura flavor. But yeah, I think you need something more substantial than pretty pink snow to cure the ills.
I'm ending this podcast. Dr. Hiralik's dream is alive and he's succeeded.
Okay, sorry. Apparently it worked. Or maybe defeating Walpole worked. But anyway.
Well, let's talk about defeating Walpole. Walpole, now empowered by the Munch Munch fruit, has created some super soldiers to take back his island. Dalton, Zoro, and Usopp lead the resistance, and Vivi goes to warn Luffy. Walpole arrives at the castle and shoots at Chopper's flag, but Luffy blocks it. Luffy defeats Walpole and frees the island. Nami has recovered. Chopper joins the Straw Hats. Kureha releases the cherry blossom bomb that Hiralik created. Kureha brings up the D in Luffy's name, which is like Gold D Rogers, and she name drops the Will of D. The Straw Hats commit to sailing to Alabasta and saving it from Mr. Zero, who is actually the warlord Crocodile, and from Miss All Sunday, who's actually Nico Robin. So much to talk about here.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with the D. So interesting. Gold D Rogers. Gold Rogers. Got it. There was a tease about the D, and now they're still not telling me, and I know you won't tell me, but the Will of D, I'm trying to wrap my head around why, like, is this something you're born with? Can you say?
I don't actually know at the point I'm at why you get the D.
Okay.
But I know that the D is supposed to do something. The Will of D is going to do something, supposedly.
So is it something, it seems like something you inherit from a parent, maybe?
It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it is exactly. I mean, we do have Monkey D. Garp, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have, I can't say the other stuff, but we had Gold D. Roger. We're going to meet more D's next season, I know.
We have Monkey D. Luffy, obviously, which is the grandson of Monkey D. Garp.
There's a bunch of D's that you will meet.
Okay. Okay.
There's D's everywhere.
That sounds like a gay man's dream.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah. I mean, we've got a lot going on here. The Will of D obviously is teased here. And also the identities of Mr. Zero and Miss All Sunday. Did you got from the show what a warlord is exactly?
I mean, I don't think I ever felt confused about that, but it's just, it's self-explanatory to me, right?
Yeah. For the listeners, if it was at all confusing, the warlords are pirates who had huge bounties and the government said, rather than hunt you down, we're going to hire you. And you're just going to do our bidding once in a while and then be able to still be a pirate.
Yeah, they talked about that even in the first season, they established that.
Yeah, because Mihawk is a warlord too. Mm-hmm. So we've met a couple warlords now.
Yeah. Oh, so that was a slightly disappointing thing to me, is that I said in the last episode how they used Mihawk at the start of the season as sort of like someone who's haunting. I mean, he's not dead, obviously, but he's inside Zoro's head, driving Zoro to keep training. And I was disappointed that they dropped that aspect for the rest of the season.
He'll be back.
Yeah, it's all right. I know.
You'll see more of him. They had him for a day of filming, Alicia, you know?
Yeah. They could have spread it out, just have something that, like, every once in a while, Zoro is still, you know, thinking of Mihawk.
Yeah, just have a flash of him going, bah!
And he's like, well, better start training.
Yep, yeah. I see what you're saying. It's like, what was in Doctor Who when we had Jonathan Groff, like, just show up, and it was filmed the previous season, so it was, like, right, very out of place.
Wow. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. We got to do an episode in the not so, well, as soon as we find out when it's coming out in the U.S. about the war between the land and the sea. It's been out in the U.K. for ages now.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Doctor Who. It's one of the most mismanaged properties in the world right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a lot of other stuff. Yeah, so Dr. Hiraluk, he made a bomb that could mix with the snow and mimic cherry blossoms.
Right. Except it's just pink snow.
Hey. It's also the texture of cherry blossoms.
Does it at least have the flavor? I love floral flavors, and I really like that's my, if I can get into some Japanese snacks, I'm like, you got any Sakura? Scratching myself.
It actually tastes like a fart when you, I have no idea.
Oh, you mean the snow?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm joking about.
Yeah. People are sticking out their tongues, so I'm going to go with it tastes like cherry blossoms.
Yeah, that's probably true. Imagine he used, like, some very unhealthy dye there. Like, they're like, he makes the entire island sick. No.
And then he and Chopper have something in common.
Oh, my God. No.
They're both mass murderers just because they're trying to help.
Yep. I mean, we kind of talked about Wapol, what he's up to. We talked about the lovable curmudgeon that is Dr. Kureha. What do you think of Tony Chopper in general?
I mean, it's so weird when Tony Chopper turns into a big beastly form and still has that little tiny one.
I know. That's accurate to the anime, though. They really did that. They did it.
Not to physics, but I don't know. I suppose that can happen.
Yeah. It's magic. It's all right. Yeah.
No, definitely lovable. An early contender to become my favorite member of the crew. We'll see.
He's not my favorite member.
No,
but he's great. You know,
who's your favorite member?
You haven't met him yet.
Oh, okay. The crew keeps growing.
Yep, it does. You're probably not going to meet him next season either. So
okay. All right.
He's coming. What do you think of Nico Robin, by the way?
Yeah, all right. I have to be slightly honest that I think the actress is very lovely looking, but I found her to be the weakest actor in the show. So that kind of took me out with this character a little bit. But I am intrigued by the character overall, just not in love with the portrayal.
That's interesting. People have actually thought that she was a good portrayal because she's supposed to be very muted at this point. She's really, like, goal-oriented and just kind of...
You just find her, kind note. Of stiff. I don't know.
Yeah. But that's all in line with how she was in the anime. So I think you'll see more as we go forward. Did you notice her poster?
That when she was a child already, she was had a bounty on her head. So presumably
she's been wanted since she was a child, yep.
Presumably she's been with Mr. Zero for a long time. Or I guess maybe he's like a foster father to her in a way.
You're guessing at things.
Okay.
I don't know if you're correct. Okay. No, they have different goals. I think we could just say this is a tentative relationship,
yeah.
Right? They have different goals. She's after something. He's after something. She sees him as her current way to get to her goal.
So maybe she hasn't been with him as long as I assumed.
Yeah, I'm just going to... Just to set your expectations. There's not going to be like a... Unless they drastically change it, there's not going to be like a father-daughter montage.
No, I mean, I don't even think that they had a good relationship, even if that were so. I'm just wondering, because of that, the fact she was a child on her wanted poster, I suppose she just was out there on her own for a while then.
Yeah, her backstory will be told about five arcs from now.
Okay. Or maybe they'll move it up. They've been moving stuff up. We'll see.
It really only works in that arc. It's like an important arc. So,
all right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wait with bated breath.
So last episode, I kept calling Miss All Sunday Robin because that's the name I know her better by.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept having to edit it out. So now I don't have to edit it out anymore.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm curious why they felt that needed to be hidden at first. Because that name doesn't. Yeah. Right? Yeah. True. That name just doesn't mean anything to me yet. It's not like there's somebody's called Monkey D something, and then you're like, oh.
That's true. I think it's just, you know, it was supposed to be Vivi. Vivi spent the whole, it was supposed to be super difficult to find out who she was, right? Who she was and who he was. She spent the whole time years infiltrating to find out these identities. If they give it to us the first episode, it might have been cheap.
Right.
That's how I'll defend it.
Right. I mean, I suppose it's also just the fact that, like, they're throwing a lot of names and information at us. So
yeah,
just knowing,
and it emphasizes
her,
that she's in Baroque Works. Mm-hmm. You know, right? Like we're trying to world build here of, like, here's this massive criminal organization,
and other people don't know who she is, because I suppose if she has that wanted poster as a child, someone who's really into pirates like Luffy might know that name.
Could be. We will see in season 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm intrigued about her as an agent who's kind of working behind the scenes more.
Yeah,
and her powers,
she's the undercover one, yeah.
Her power is so cool. I can't believe that she's not considered of the more powerful fruit type, because that is, like, she does seem OP. I mean, they're all OP, to be honest. This is OP people fighting OP people, which is how you get them to just pee.
Yeah, I mean, you can look, Luffy defeats everybody he comes into contact with, right? Like, that's the whole point of the show. Mm-hmm. And he's technically a paramecia type.
Right.
And so it's not that a paramecia type can't overpower a Logia type. It's that categorically, Logia types are considered more powerful than paramecia types because of the inability to hit them directly.
Right. Yeah, I'm very curious to meet more Logia types because, okay, I get it with the smoke, but now I need to see, like, what are the other options for that?
You will meet at least two next season. I promise that.
Yay. Yeah. But her power, Miss All Sunday's power with, what is it called? The flower fruit?
Yeah, the flower fruit.
With her arms growing out of things, it's so cool visually, but it's also creepy AF.
Yeah, there's parts in the anime that I hope they bring in of her, like, making, like, a chain with her arm, like,
ooh,
trying to grab people. Very cool. Very cool. I hope they get there.
Well, I'm appreciating this character visually so far, and I'm hoping they draw me in with caring about her as a person, or at least being more intrigued about her as a person. For now, it's like, okay, she's been a pirate since she was young. Tell me more.
You'll get there. I don't know if you'll get all the way there next season.
Okay.
But you'll get there.
Okay. All right.
All right. I think we did it. Anything else?
No, I'm just, yeah, I do we know what the ETA is on season 3? Like, are they filming now?
It's a good question. 2027, it's supposed to be released. I think they already filmed, maybe. Maybe, I don't know if they're done filming yet. But, yeah, okay. They were starting filming pretty early, I think, on this.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that they are. Do we know about season 4? Is it renewed yet? Because I hope that it would be smart of them to just, you know, take a few months break and then get immediately back to filming.
That would be nice. So they I don't think they've been renewed for season 4 yet, but season 3 started filming in November of last year. So they might be done by now. I have not seen. Okay. So hopefully we get that early 2027 and we just do an annual release and we're good with that.
Yes, please. This seems like a good show for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Just planning. All right. Planning is a thing.
Well, thank you everyone for being patient, waiting for our coverage. We did it. It's out.
Yay. Yeah, and thank you for getting me into this world and putting up with my stupid questions.
They're not stupid questions. I had very similar, if you go back and listen to my coverage with Moses
on
the anime. The anime stuff, I was asking a lot of the same questions, right? Like, what is this? And he's like, it's a lot of like, I can't tell you yet. There's, there's
waffo,
a lot going on.
Waffo.
There's things that are happening that you're not seeing, all that kind of stuff. So... yeah, it's a lot of tough. There's going to be more power systems introduced as we go.
All right. I do love a hard magic system.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it magic. It's just like vibes. I don't know what I would call it.
Hard vibes. All right.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
All right. So what else we got going on the network? You're doing Daredevil, right?
Yeah, we just released the first half of the season. Season 5 is out, and just before that, we released our episode 5 is out, and just before that, we released our episode 1 through 4 episode of the second season. So that was episode 4, especially, was my favorite in the season to date. Episode 5 was a very well-written episode. I'm mad at certain aspects. So we'll be back at the end of the season with more Daredevil, and then 1 week after that for the Punisher special.
Very nice. Plenty of Marvel content for all of you superhero heads.
Yep. And also I want to shout out that we cover the drama. There has the new Robert Pattinson and Zendaya movie, and there has
he's
been
Gen Z, right? From that interview. He's like, I'm Gen Z.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's the same age that I am. Boop, boop,
yeah,
boop,
he's
boop.
Not yes, Gen he Z. Is. He's like 40.
Yes, he is. Yeah. But yeah, it's been generating some deep conversation on the Discord. So if you have watched the drama and whether or not you've listened to our episode, I hope you'll join in our discussion because it is that kind of movie.
Very nice. The Pit? Finishing up this week. We just had the finale. I haven't even watched it yet, but me and David are going to be talking about that this weekend. Stay tuned for that. And David is also leading the mall coverage. I was supposed to be leading it with him, but I did not like it as much as he liked it. So he's really into it. I have to say, like, I don't think I've ever seen David this into a Star Wars property. Andor. Duh.
Yeah,
he was very into Andor, but since Andor, I've not seen him that enamored with one of these, especially the animated shows.
It's very like techno noir, very like I keep calling it Blade Runner Coruscant, the planet Genix they're on, or at least the part of that part of the planet that they're on. So I'm into it too. I like it as well. So I sent in 3 voicemails this time. I split it into 3 parts so it wasn't as long.
I think that's good though, because it's good to like drop it in the relevant parts and that way we don't forget about what you said by the end of the podcast.
Right.
True. I know I confuse you by making a joke about your Sith stuff.
No, you didn't confuse me. There was a comment on the Patreon about, and I was like, did I say something about Sith Protestants? And I was like, no, John made the joke.
I was trying to frame what you said as Sith Protestantism.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, but I said I think the actual Sith Protestants were Darth Bane, the one who implemented the rule of two. Only he was a sort of Protestant who killed all the Catholics.
That's true. I think he might just be the only Sith at that point, right?
right.
Can you be a Protestant if you're? Yeah, I think the other Sith has to exist to be a Protestant.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was the idea, is that there will only be two from then on.
Right. That's funny. And I'm going to edit the Silmarillion episode, get that out, I think, sometime this weekend. So we're going to finish up the Turin-Turambar arc. It is not Hopepunk. It is very dark. And it is like the most George R. R. Martin that Tolkien ever gets.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
There is accidental murder. There is accidental incest. It's really like Game of Thronesy.
All right. Okay. I'm very curious. I am behind on my reading, but now I'm excited to get to that part and see how Tolkien, of all people, does Grimdark. because we held him up as a hope punk example.
Yeah, he largely is, but he mm-hmm. wrote this story when he was fighting in World War One, mm. and it shows.
Okay.
This is also like, if you're into like the classics, he very much based this on, I believe, Marilyn said the Kalevala, the ancient myth.
Okay.
So this is very much like a classic retelling of a quote unquote hero story.
Okay. All right.
All right. Other affiliate coverage. Got Radioactive Ramblings doing Invincible and The Boys. A lot of superhero stuff going on there. More satirical, of course. You want to tell them about the other affiliates?
Never Mind the Music has been... Oh, they just put out the cutest sidetrack episode where Mark's son talks about why he doesn't love a certain Fleetwood Mac song as much as his dad.
That's funny.
Properly Howard, they've been doing their newlywed season. So far, I'm still trying to wrap my head around what it's movie reviews. It's funny movie reviews, but they've been pairing them up, it feels like, a lot of the time. So this latest one was another David Dastmalchian one. The one where he's a talk show host in the 70s with Midnight with the Devil or something, along with The Exorcist, which is another favorite of mine. So that was an interesting conversation to listen in on. And I promise there's more Wool Shift Dust Dune stuff and Star Wars High Republic stuff coming soon. Subscribers have been getting more episodes than I've been putting in the public. Sorry.
All right. Well, you heard it here. More stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of stuff to listen to on the Lorehounds Network. We may put out too much content.
And Radioactive Ramblings, they're covering Invincible now and The Boys at the same time.
I already went through that.
Why is Amazon releasing them at the same time?
I couldn't tell you. I don't see inside the mind of Jeffrey Bezos.
It's just like, it's the same audience. Do them back to back. Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. There's not even a lot of big shows coming out until June. Like, they have time.
Yeah. Yeah. June's going to be a lot.
Yeah. I think Invincible's basically almost done, though.
Okay. I have to catch up on all of it.
Are they on season 4?
Invincible? Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. I think they're basically finishing like next week. So I think they wanted the overlap. That would make more sense. Like a little overlap.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they're finishing this weekend.
Yeah.
Next week. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I hear good things about both seasons, The Boys and Invincible. So I know Jean's enjoying them.
I fell off The Boys last season, but I
this is the final season. I'm going to see it through.
That's fair. I might go back eventually. I got bummed out halfway through the season. It felt too real. And like, that's a me problem, not a them problem.
For me, I found Gen V really invigorating. I'm kind of more into Gen V than The Boys at the moment.
That makes sense.
And I guess they're supposed to show up this season, so.
Yeah. Very exciting. All right, we've got plenty of stuff going on. Do we want to thank everybody? I'll do the Discord server boosters if you do the Lore Masters.
All right.
Discord server boosters, thank you to Aaron K, Tilly the Thriller, Doof71, Athena A, Lestu, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, Radioactive Richard, and Andreon.
Thank you to our Lore Masters, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, SC, Peter OH, Nancy M, Doof71, Brian8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Andrew B, Kwong Yu, Nathan T, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Deli V, Mothership61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Lestu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, Rocky Zim, Jessica A, Red Zippy, the TCS, Dopamini, LNR, Mrs. Tennant, AC Wilson, Eli W, Cassie K, Chumbaruni, Katia, Josh Liu, Paint and PDX, Corey G, Quinch, new member Jenny L, and always last Adrian. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We will see you, not for more One Piece for a while, but for plenty of other podcasts soon.
Yes, yes. We have to talk about certain things. Amaze, amaze.
Amazed. See you later.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and comments to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. Get ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts on Patreon or Supercast, and connect with us on Blue Sky and join us on our Discord server. Links for everything are in the link tree in the show notes of this episode. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.